Welcome back to the deep dive. So the holidays are over, the chaos has settled, and maybe, just maybe, you've got a shiny new piece of gaming hardware sitting there.
A new GPU, maybe a nice OLED screen or a handheld.
Exactly. And now comes the real mission, right? You have to feed that thing. You need games that actually justify what you just spent. So we've looked at a whole stack of guides, especially one really comprehensive guide on the Boxing Day sales. And our mission for you today is pretty simple.
It's twofold, really.
First, we need to show you why certain games are the absolute technical benchmarks, the ones that make that new hardware sing. And second, we need to give you a strategy for the stores, Steam, Epic, all of them, so you can actually maximize your savings.
Yeah, this isn't just about finding a low price, it's about understanding the value. If you spend $1,000 on a new graphics card, you need to see that money on the screen.
Okay, so let's start right there with the new hardware. No one buys a top-tier GPU to play games from 5 years ago. You want to push it. What are the graphical kings right now? What benchmark tier?
We have to start with a game that, even a couple of years later, is still just the undisputed king. Cyberpunk 2077, Phantom Liberty.
Right. It's 50% off right now, which is a great price.
Yeah.
But the source material is really clear on this. If you have a new high-end NVIDIA card, say a 4070 or better, this is mandatory. Why?
It boils down to two words: path tracing.
Okay, path tracing.
And this is fundamentally different from what we've been calling ray tracing for the last few years. This isn't just, better lighting.
So what is it then?
It's basically a simulation of how light actually works in the real world. Instead of just calculating one or two bounces for reflections, it traces the entire path of light.
The entire path.
Exactly. So when you're walking through Dogtown and it's raining, the way the neon signs just diffuse and reflect on the wet streets, it's almost a religious experience for tech people. It is the feature designed to push that new GPU to its absolute limit.
Got it. So that's the GPU killer. But what about the screen? The guide draws this really interesting line between Alan Wake 2 and a new OLED monitor. Is that just marketing hype?
No, not at all. There's a deep, deep technical reason for it, and it all comes down to contrast.
Contrast.
Alan Wake 2 is built around light and darkness being, a core game mechanic. If you're playing on a standard IPS screen, those dark woods just look kind of gray and washed out. The backlight is always on.
Right. It kills the atmosphere.
It completely kills it. But
Yeah.
on an OLED, because each pixel can turn completely off,
You get true black.
you get true pitch black, and the darkness in that game becomes this oppressive, terrifying thing, which is exactly what the developers wanted. The game is just built for that technology.
That makes perfect sense. Okay, third one in this tier, Avatar, Frontiers of Pandora. It's 60% off. The pitch is that it's the new crisis. Is it really that demanding?
Oh, yeah. This one is a stress test for your entire system, not just the GPU. The key is the Snowdrop engine that Ubisoft uses.
And what does that do?
It creates this incredibly dense, reactive world. Every plant, every leaf on Pandora isn't just a static object. It reacts to wind, to you moving through it.
So it's a physics problem more than a graphics problem.
It's both. The GPU is dying trying to render all that complex foliage. But the CPU is also getting hammered because it has to calculate the physics for millions of these little objects all at once. It's a unique test for your whole rig. Honestly, it's worth it at that price just for the virtual tourism alone.
Okay, we've justified the expensive hardware, but let's be real. After the holidays, the wallet is probably feeling a little bit light.
Just a bit.
So let's shift to the other end of the spectrum, the high-value, low-cost gems, the games that prove you don't need to break the bank.
And first on that list, it just has to be The Witcher 3 Complete Edition.
For what, like $8?
$7.99, an 85% discount. I mean, at that price, it's basically criminal for the amount of game you're getting.
And what's the hook that keeps a game from 2015 so relevant today?
Yeah.
It's the next-gen update. And this wasn't just a lazy patch. They went back and added real ray tracing, 4K textures, totally overhauled things. It genuinely makes a 2015 game look like it could have come out this year.
100+ hours for $8.
Yep, dollar for dollar, probably the best value deal in gaming today.
All right, next up, something much shorter. A palate cleanser. Titanfall 2. Ultimate Edition for $2.99.
A 90% discount.
Wow.
Look, if you want the tightest, most inventive, and surprisingly emotional shooter campaign of the last decade, this is it. It's maybe 6 hours long.
Perfect for a weekend.
Absolutely. At $3, it's a complete no-brainer. You don't even think about it, you just buy it.
And connecting back a bit, we have Control Ultimate Edition for $8.99. This is from Remedy, the same people who did Alan Wake 2. Is the appeal similar?
It shares that Remedy DNA for sure, but the technical showcase here is different. It's all about physics and destruction.
Okay.
You have these telekinesis powers in this big concrete office building, and almost everything can be destroyed. You're ripping chunks of the wall out, throwing desks.
So every fight is just chaos.
Complete, spectacular chaos. It's a showcase for physics engines and also for ray traced reflections on all those shiny office floors. Still a great looking game.
And finally, for anyone who just installed a big new 2TB SSD and is staring at all that empty space.
The Motherlode. Mass Effect Legendary Edition for $9.99.
I mean, the value there is just absurd.
It's the entire original trilogy, remastered. Hundreds of hours of one of the best sci-fi stories ever told in gaming. For $10, it is the single most efficient way to fill up a new hard drive with pure quality.
All right, we have our shopping list, we have the benchmarks and the budget kings, but now for the really important part, the strategy. It's not just what you buy, it's where you buy it, right?
Absolutely. The storefronts are in a war with each other, and you need to know how to use that to your advantage.
So what's the Epic Game Store strategy? Why do we look there first?
It's all about one thing, the coupon. Epic is basically burning money to get market share, and they do it with their 33% reusable coupon during these big sales.
And the key detail here is that it stacks on top of existing sale prices.
That's the crucial part. So let's take a new $70 game. It goes on sale for 40% off, so it's $40.
Okay.
On Steam, you pay $40. On Epic, you apply that 33% coupon to the $40 sale price, and suddenly it's $26.80.
That's a huge difference.
It's massive. So the rule is simple. For any big new AAA game, especially from publishers like Ubisoft or Sony, you have to check Epic first.
Which begs the question, why would anyone ever pay more on Steam? What's the value proposition there?
You're paying for the ecosystem, and for certain types of games, it's absolutely worth it.
What do you mean by ecosystem?
I mean things like the Steam Workshop for mods, which is huge.
Yeah.
The Steam Deck verification, which is critical for handheld players, and all the community guides and features.
So Epic for the discount, Steam for the features.
That's the rule. You buy your indie games, your multiplayer games, and especially your mod-heavy games like Skyrim or City Builders on Steam. The long-term value from the features is worth the few extra dollars.
And what about console players? PlayStation owners specifically. Sony is famously stingy with sales.
They are. But we're seeing what we call the first price drop happening right now. The big first-party games like God of War, Ragnarok, and Spider-Man 2 have finally, for the first time, hit that $30 to $40 price range.
And what does that signal?
That signals that this is the new floor. Based on past behavior, they're not likely to get much cheaper than this until maybe next year's holiday sales. So if you're a PS5 owner and you've been waiting, now's the time to jump on those.
Okay, let's switch gears to handhelds. Maybe you unwrapped a new Steam Deck or an ROG Ally. The buying criteria are totally different here, right? It's not about raw power.
Not at all. It's all about battery life and convenience. You want games that play well in short bursts and don't just torch your battery in an hour.
So roguelikes seem perfect for this. The guide points to Hades II. Why is that one such a good fit?
It's just so well optimized. It runs at a locked 90 frames per second on the Steam Deck OLED, so it's super smooth, but it's also really light on resources, so it sips battery.
And you can just pick it up and put it down.
Exactly. You do one run, you suspend the system, it's the perfect portable gameplay loop.
Next up, Dave the Diver, 30% off.
Yeah.
What makes this one so good for the small screen?
It's the art style. It's this charming mix of 2D pixel art and some 3D, which means the graphical load is incredibly low. Again, great for battery, no fan noise, and it's just so addictive and relaxing on a handheld.
The source calls one game in particular dangerous, Balatro.
Yeah, that's a fair warning.
Why?
Because it's a poker roguelike that will absolutely consume you. It's perfect for handheld because the controls are simple, but it has that just one more run quality that will make you look up and realize it's 4 a.m.
The best kind of dangerous. And finally, of course, the king of cozy gaming.
Stardew Valley. It's an essential install on any new handheld, especially with the huge 1.6 update that just came out.
Perfect. Okay, before we send everyone off to fill their shopping carts, we have to talk about the gray market. The G2As, the CD keys. The prices look tempting, but the guide gives a really strong warning.
A very strong and very necessary warning. You might see a game for a couple of dollars cheaper, but you're taking a huge gamble, especially when official sales are this good.
What's the first big risk?
The first risk is to you directly. Key revocation. A lot of those keys are bought with stolen credit cards. When the publisher finds out they can, and they do, just revoke the key.
So the game just vanishes from your library.
Exactly. You could be gone next week, and you have no way to get your money back.
Wow. And the second risk is even worse, in a way.
It's about hurting the developers. For a small indie studio, when a key bought with a stolen card is used, they get hit with a chargeback fee from the credit card company.
So they don't just make $0 on the sale, they actually lose money.
Yes. Many indie devs have said they would literally rather you pirate their game than buy it from one of those sites. When The Witcher 3 is $8 on an official store, there is just no reason to take that risk to save a dollar or two.
That's a very clear line. Okay, let's bring it all together with those curated shopping baskets from the guide. This is how you put the strategy into practice.
First up, the I'm Broke basket. All about maximum playtime, minimum cost. You grab Titanfall 2 for $3, The Witcher 3 for $8, and maybe something like Vampire Survivors for $4.
That's about 150 hours of amazing games for $15.
Unbeatable value. Then you have the Visual Feast basket. This is for justifying the new hardware. You get Cyberpunk for path tracing, Alan Wake 2 for that OLED experience, making sure to use that Epic coupon, and maybe add Hellblade Descent with a cheap Game Pass sub.
Pure eye candy.
Guaranteed. And finally, the Steam Deck starter basket.
Mm.
All about battery and playability. Hades II, Day of the Diver, Hollow Knight, Celeste, all classics that are just perfect for portable play.
So the strategy is just as important as the hardware. You've got the machine, you have the plan, and now you can build a library that's optimized for both. This has been incredibly useful.
I'm glad to help. It's all about matching the content to the hardware you own.
Thank you. It really does clarify that being a smart gamer today means being a smart shopper first.
It does. And, you know, if we connect this to the bigger picture, it makes you wonder, given the really aggressive discount strategy from Epic with those coupons versus the whole ecosystem strength of Steam with mods and features, is the future of digital stores pushing to one of those two extremes, either maximal discount or maximal features? Is there even any room left for a store to exist in the middle ground? It's something to think about while you're watching those games download.